Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always a privilege to come before the people of God as we study and expound on the word of God together in fellowship. I thank God for allowing me this opportunity, and I thank each and every one of you. Each and every one of you taking time from your schedule to meet up as we explore the words of God together. I pray that your week was a great time and you saw the hand of God working and operating in your life. And now we're going to sit down and hear what the Spirit has to say to us. But before we get started, I'm going to play a song. And once the song is played, we're going to come back and we're going to go before the throne of grace in prayer. And then we'll expound on the word of God. I thought that song would be so appropriate for our lesson tonight, because the title of our lesson is Equipment Necessary for Spiritual Warfare. Telling us that we are in a war here on this earth. The song says you got to be ready. You got to keep yourself in position. You have to patiently wait on God. And whatever he does, you got to trust that he's going to work it out together for your good. We have to be ready, my sisters and brothers, because there is a war going on, and it's serious. It's serious. Look around. See everything that's happening. Leadership and rules and regulations and everything that's going on that we have no control. That's why the Bible told us we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And at this time, we're going to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. Our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, is on the line. Sister Pam, I turn everything over to you.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I pray that all is well on tonight. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Giving thanks tonight to you, Father God, for life. Thanking you, O Lord, for affording us this opportunity to come together for our Wednesday night Bible study. Father God, I thank you tonight for my sister, our sister in Christ, our prayer warrior, and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, I pray that you continue allowing her to bring forth your word each and every Wednesday night. Oh, Lord, please continue to bless our Bible study and each and every person that's on the phone lines tonight and those that are on the Internet. Father God, I thank you for salvation. I thank you, oh, Lord, for setting us free. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus the Christ, and it's all in his name that I give thanks. And amen.
Amen, my sister.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for accepting the position that you have. And you've been doing it a long time, and you haven't stopped. That's commitment. God honors it. And I'm grateful to have you to be a part of Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple, on Wednesday night. Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
It's time for us to explore the word of God. I pray that you had enough time to read the whole chapter so you could understand where Paul is coming from. Our lesson tonight, again, I repeat, is equipment necessary for spiritual warfare. I'm coming out the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 13 through 20. And if you had a chance to read, you know that I'm talking about the full armor of God. I'm going to do a little intro and we'll go into the lesson. God has a plan for our lives. God had a plan for our lives that he orchestrated, and he's allowing and he's working, arranging and rearranging matters in our lives to get to the intended purpose that he had for us. God has a plan for our lives. But I want you to know tonight that the enemy has plans for us as well. We just have to decide which voice we are going to listen to and who we're going to choose to follow each day. The Bible says, choose ye this day who you will serve. You can't serve two masters. And at some point, we learn and we grow in grace, and we begin to stop straddling the fence, trying to mix the flesh with the spirit. If we don't make a determined choice to follow God, we may eventually fall into the evil one's trap. God gives specific instructions in his word. He give us all we need to stand strong in this life here on earth. Yet, all too often, we face through a busy, full day, ill-equipped, unprepared, or simply not aware of what we're up against. You know how you look around in the world and, you know, you study the word and you're growing in grace and you feel like you can't make it without God. And yet you can see so many others going around like everything is all right. It doesn't matter to them where they end up because they have no plan. They haven't committed themselves unto God to begin to understand his awesomeness. They don't even know what they're up against. And often not relying who the real enemies are. If we look at our world today, we see that people hurt people. People are being shot down in the street as if they're the enemy. But we're going to see tonight that the word of God identified the true enemy. The true enemy. And if any of them, those doing these things in this wide and wicked world, if they just took time to know the master, they'll understand that life matters. You see, the Bible lets us know that Satan is our enemy, and yes, he is real. He's always was and will continue to be our enemy until Jesus comes back. Satan was created by God as an angel, fell from heaven, and was cast down. You see, but he roams the earth. You remember when the book of Job opened up and God was in his heavenly place and Satan was roaming the world up and down. He talked to God and God allowed him to test. This lets us know Satan is lurking around. Yes, he is. Satan was created by God as an angel, fell from heaven, and was cast down. But he roams the earth, and he's warring against God and his people, causing havoc. You see, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said. That's what Satan came to do. He said, but I have come, come on now, to give you life and life more abundantly. Choose this day who you will serve. You see, Satan is a fallen angel who rebelled against God. The demons mentioned throughout the Bible are evil spirits ruled by Satan. You see, Satan got his imps. Demons ruled by Satan. Many scholars conclude these being also fallen angels. Because you remember when Satan left, one-third of the angels in the kingdom of God decided to follow him. So people being deceived by Antichrist being deceived by the Antichrist and by false teaching and doctrine, it's nothing new, you guys. It's been happening way back in Genesis, before Genesis. You see, Satan first appeared, like I say in Genesis, as he tempted Eve to sin. You see, in the book of Job, Satan afflicted the righteous man Job with several calamities. trying to turn him away from God. Another noted act of Satan occurred in the temptation of Christ. Satan also tempted the Apostle Peter to deny Christ, and he entered into Judas to betray him. Satan is real, y'all. I don't know how much time and concentration you think about Satan, but Satan is real. You see, Satan's greatest advantage is that many people do not believe he exists. So it's easy for him to come in and do his damage. He has been portrayed so often as an image with horns, a spiked tail, and a pitchfork that millions consider him to be a myth. They think it's a part of science fiction images. Today, Satan continues to use demons to cause destruction in the world and sometimes employs human agents. You know, they call them devil worshippers. And many people may not take the title of a devil worship, but if they live by his standards, which is the standards of this world, then they are one of his followers. You see, his power is never and ever will be equal to God's power because his power is limited. But he does have some power. The good news is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan's ultimate destruction is assured. In the end, we win, y'all. The book of Ephesians had given us a way to dress for society. For spiritual warfare against the wiles of the devil by putting on the whole armor of God, our provision. See, God has given us the a provision necessary for our everyday battles. God knew that there would be a battle between the flesh and the spirit when he allowed us to be here on earth. None of this is taking God by surprise. But he has equipped us with a full armor of God necessary for our everyday battles. And we've gone into the word now. So if you got your Bible and you're in the book of Ephesians, go down to the 10th verse. I'm going to read the 10th through the 13th. It says, first of all, I want you to know that this is Paul talking. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12, for we wrestle not. He's identifying the enemy, y'all, so listen at this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, Satan, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Come on now. High places. 13. Wherefore, take unto you the armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days. And after you have done everything that you can do, he says, just stand. Many times people stand before time. They haven't put in any work and they're ready to stand. They're not doing anything that God asked them to do, but they're ready to stand and expect God to make their emergency his urgency. But when you have done all that you can do, then you stand. Because the scriptures say, having done all you can do, then you stand. You see, these verses are letting us know that there is an ongoing battle, an all-out war, a spiritual battle, and Christians will be engaged in it, and it will exist from now until Jesus returns. You see, this war that's going on daily and with is going on with us. Because you know how they like to tell a story with a little devil on one side of your shoulder and an angel on the other one. And every time something has to be decided, you have to choose. That's a war between the spirit and the flesh. It's an all-out war. But this war has no timeout, no quarters, no ceasefires, no temporary truce, no vacation, and you are not afforded the opportunity to tell it. Hold up, wait a minute. Once we know who the real enemies are, we have to stop fighting one another, flesh and blood. Hallelujah. But be on guard for the principalities and powers, which are demonic agents sent by the devil to afflict God's children in this world. You know them young men on the streets that killing each other? They look at each other as the enemy. The word of God that we just read in the book of Ephesians telling us, you know, it's not flesh and blood, palaces and powers and high places. If they could just understand who the real enemy is, they would stop shooting and killing each other. We know that they have a veil on their face and all they could see is darkness. They can't see the light, which is Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to be about our Father's business, trying everything in our power to get a word to somebody. So that's what's going on. And the war within us is going on. The flesh wants the things that will satisfy the flesh. And the spirit wants the things that will satisfy the spirit. And they are constantly at war with one another. But God has given us a heavenly attire needed to dress for spiritual warfare success here on earth. God just didn't save us and walk away. He's constantly working things out for our good. He inspired Paul to write this lesson for us to know that once we accepted his son, we became equipped with everything to win the battle. Because in the end, we win. You see, once you have dressed yourself, resist the devil, then stand firm, not idle. Be ready for the enemy, the Satan, the devil, to attack over and over again. I know this sounds military to some people, and the other day was Memorial Day. So this sound like a battlefield. It sound like real war. Because I want you to understand, and that's why God had it written this way, that there is an ongoing war within our members, within our body, within our mind, within our heart. We fight to do what's right because it's just the right thing to do, because evil is always present. Paul said one time that the things that I want to do look like I don't do them, and then the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But he also said in the end of that, he said, it's not I, but it's the sin that's in me. There's a war going on. James in 4:7 said, submit yourself therefore to God. James is asking us to resist the devil and he will flee. If no ifs, ands about it, if you're strong enough to say no and say no and no and no, Satan's going to leave you alone eventually when he knows your no is real. But if you say no now and then you do it 4 more times in the same day, he's wondering, oh, I ain't got to worry about that one that much, because you don't take your no as a no. But if you submit yourself under God and resist him, he has to flee. In the book of Peter, he talks about be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walk around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan is real, y'all. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with the truth and having on a breastplate of righteousness. Now, let me, you know, when you read and study the word of God, you got to see. When Paul wrote this book, the book of Ephesians, he was in prison. He was in a jail in Rome. And by being in the prison for that time, Paul kept looking at the soldiers all the time because he's in prison. Now he uses their full armor as a metaphor or an analogy. Now follow what I'm saying. Paul wrote this. He was in prison. He saw the prisoners dressed. And the prisoners at that time in Rome, they wore a full armor. So he used that to give a spiritual meaning for us to comprehend and understand the parts of it. So he used it as a metaphor to describe how someone is properly dressed for war and the different pieces essential for the protection for the one in war. So Paul began and he starts with the belt of truth. You see, the belt of truth is the believer's integrity. A soldier in Paul's day had a leather girdle, a belt, that he tightened about his waist to protect his loins and to carry his weapons of warfare, such as a dagger or a sword. You see, the belt also holds his tourniquet together so it would not drag or sag, because he would trip and fall. See, Paul is looking at all of this and he's studying and he put it in a metaphor for us today. You see, in our Christian armor, truth is the integrity that holds everything else together. Come on, y'all. The truth is what sets you free. Y'all know when you tell a lie, you got to remember the lie because you might have to lie on top of the lie. But the truth, so he said the belt is considered the truth because it holds all things together. If you do not have integrity in the big and small things of your life, you're going to lose the battle. God said he despised a liar. Do what is right, the right thing to do. Tell the truth. And then if we look at the other part that they had in that same scripture, in that same scripture verse, it said a breastplate of righteousness, you see, is the believer's purity. The breastplate of a soldier was sometimes made of woven chains and used to cover the soldier's vital organs. Come on, y'all. They're calling this righteousness. Paul called it a breastplate of righteousness. For the Christian, a breastplate of righteousness is a gift given to us by God. It represents holy character and moral conduct, which causes obedience to the truth. Righteousness, y'all. The truth stands alone. You can't change it. You can't alter it. And you can't make it fit your agenda. People sometimes lie because what they want a person to believe about them, or they just, some people lie so much, it's, they call them habitual liars. And they don't even know what's real or what's the truth anymore. The enemy wants to attack you not only with lies, but also with impurities. He wants you to be selfish, only thinking of yourself, holding what God has given you to help others, and engage in all temptations of the flesh. That's where Satan wants you. So the bottom line is that Satan wants to get into your heart and your mind. And he's looking for a crack in your armor. And don't be fooled. Satan knows where your cracks are. He knows where they are. Especially when you repeat the ones that you do. He know how to get you. He wants you to accept his perception. And we got to remember the only place that Satan can have any leeway is in our mind. Because if Satan could have killed us, we could have died before we got saved. I guarantee you that. So we could have lived in hell with him. But once you're saved, he's only trying to get you to give up, to turn around, to denounce God as our Heavenly Father and say Jesus is not the Messiah. So he's trying you to trying to get you to accept his perception. And sometimes you let Satan play in your head so long with thoughts that you buy into them. And before you know, you're doing what he has been tempting and asking you to do. And you begin to accept his lies, and then it becomes your reality, a lie. How many y'all know people who say Jesus is not the society, is not the Messiah? A lie, but they have bought into it. Come on now. How many people say when you're dead, you're done, there's no afterlife? And that's their reality. They didn't even think of that on their own. It's seed planted by Satan. So don't let Satan have free rein in your head. Don't allow him to use your mind as his playground. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he has to flee. The scriptures told us that flesh and blood is not our opponent. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They call the shoes of peace. And really, that's our tranquility. A soldier would have hobos on the sole of their shoes. It's kind of like how the football shoes is with the cleats, because they are as needed. Solid footing from which to move. You see, that song I played earlier was You Gotta Be Ready. You see, the Christian must have his feet ready always with a sense of eagerness and willfulness to advance against the devil and even take the fight to him sometimes. Have you ever said, Satan, I know you're fixing to come with this foolishness, because you saw what just happened to me. And this is a time where I could fall down. I could lose my mind because of what had happened. But I'm telling you in advance, Satan, yeah, look, damn, and my situation is not great. But I still trust God, and I'm going to patiently wait on him. That's why I say sometimes you can even take the fight to him. You got to stop telling God how big your problems are. but start telling your problem how big your God is. When Satan comes against you, he destroys and messes with your peace, which is your tranquility. He throws out stones of doubt and discouragement to cause you to stumble. But God can keep your mind in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. We could do that and have peace with our soul because we know in the end we win. Verse 16 says, above all, taking a shield of faith wherein ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. He made a metaphor of the shield, and he called it faith. You see, the shield of faith is the believer's certainty. You see, the Roman soldier's shield was about 2 by 4 feet, and it was made of wood covered with leather. You see, in that day, soldiers dipped arrows in oil, then lift them and shot them at the enemy. You see, these shields were vital to protect the soldiers from getting burnt. The shield of faith means taking God at his word, believing his promises, which will protect you from doubt induced by Satan. If God say it, do you believe it? How do you believe it? By faith. You don't have to see it to believe it. But if you trust that God is able and God is working things out for you and God promised never to leave you, never to forsake you, and God is your present help, and that you can cast all of your cares on God because he cared for you, you can walk in faith. You see, Satan wants you to place your doubts. He wants to place doubts in your mind about God and his truth. But you must always hold on and don't give up. No matter what you're going through, keep pressing towards the mark of the prize. You have to hold on and be strong. And you see, Satan knows a spark can ignite a big fire. See, he come to you settled and give a little bit here and a little bit there, and he try to connect the dots in your mind. But what you have to do, you need to feed your faith and learn to starve your doubts. Remove the seeds of doubt in your mind today so that the battle will be won. And God lets us know that it's all right already because the battle is not ours. They belong to God. He promised to fight our battle. We have to stop taking things out of God's hand that we couldn't fix if we, no matter how we tried. That's why we bring it to God and leave it at the altar. Because if you're going to walk in a life of doubt, then where is your God? If you're going to walk in fear and uncertainties all of the time, the unsaved people will look at you and figure your God's not working. Or it doesn't make sense because you're just like them. And I'm not telling you you're going to get weak. You're not going to get weak. You're not going to fall short of the glory of God. Yes, all that's going to happen. But when it's all said and done, we stand up and call on the mighty name of Jesus. And we realize and we speak with our mouth because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That because he lived, we can face tomorrow. We have to articulate our faith, especially in a time of trouble, so everybody will know who you belong to. That's when you let your light so shine that men can see the good works of God and give him the glory. That's when you get the call in the middle of the night and seem like all hell and broke loose. And yes, you did get bad news. But then the scripture come to your mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. The scripture come in your mind, battle is not mine, belong to you. All kind of things that God is going to work it out together for your good. Scripture could come to your mind, we are conquerors. Come on, y'all. It'll come to you, it's going to be all right, because God said, I'll be the head and not the tail. See, if you got the word of God in you, the word is what produces the faith and make you be strong. Well, help you to be strong. And there is a battle on earth between the spirit and the flesh. And verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. All right now, the helmet of salvation is the believer's sanctity. It keeps us sane, y'all. It holds our mind together when we could call on the scripture and believe that God said it, it shall be done. You see, the helmet protects the head, perhaps the most vital part of the body, since it is the seat of the thoughts and thoughts of the mind. When we have a true knowledge of our salvation, when you really understand it, because I talk with people often that has been with Christ for a long time, and they don't know that their salvation is secured. You got to know that you're his, and he will not allow Satan to take it away. When we are not certain that we are in Christ with our sins forgiven, we will have, when we are certain that we are in Christ with our sins forgiven, we will have a peace that nothing can disturb. Once you are saved, salvation belongs to you, never to be lost. The most important thing for you is to have at all times is the assurance of your salvation. Now, you got to know I'm talking about those who are truly saved, not those who are faking it till they make it. Are not those that haven't really accepted Jesus as a Savior. I'm talking about those who truly realized that they was a sinner and was in need of a Savior. And they came to God in faith, by faith, and received his Son. I'm talking about those. And then there's the other part of that scripture, say the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When we are tempted, the most effective weapon that God has given us as believers is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus modeled this so beautifully during his temptation in the wilderness. When the devil temptation came upon him, Jesus used the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus spoke the word of God to Satan. And that's what we have to do, y'all. Remember that. Use the word of God in the battle against Satan. He come in your mind, you give him a word of God, he's going to flee. But he's going to come back and give him another word. You see, in Luke 4:13, Jesus responded, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord God only. Him only you shall serve." And again, he brought the scripture back into context. You will not tempt the Lord your God. He also said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, the sword of the Spirit works. What we should be doing is trying to memorize scriptures, study them, believe them, and then use them to defeat Satan's lies and attacks. Do you believe it tonight, my sisters and brothers? You see, and then verse 18 talks about prayer. He gave us the armor, and when we are fully dressed, in season and out of season, we should pray. We are told to pray in the Spirit. That is, with the mind of Christ, with his heart and his priorities. So you see, in addition to wearing the full armor of God, we can't neglect prayer, as it is the means by which we draw spiritual strength from God. Prayers are indispensable and always needed for every occasion. You see, without prayer, without reliance on God, our efforts at spiritual warfare are empty and futile. The full armor of God, which is truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, and the word of God, and add on to that prayer, are the tools that God has given us through which we can be spiritually victorious, overcoming Satan's attacks and temptation. And that's my lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Anyone would like to put a prayer request in? Anyone would like to make a statement? Well, I pray that there was some information that you could use in your kingdom building. I pray. 1 minute. A call. A caller, your number is 504-231. Your mic is open.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Good evening, Minister Diane. I just want to say that I enjoyed the lesson tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Minister Parker, and thank you for letting me know, because I do a lesson every Wednesday night, and I don't get to speak to many of you guys. Some of you I do. You know, I don't know if it was received and how it was perceived, and is there something else I could do to be better, something I could stop doing. This is our Bible study, and everyone has an opportunity to participate. So I thank you for your comments and taking the time to give the comments. I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Caller, your number is 225-302. Your mic is open.
Hello. Hi, Mom. Hi, everyone. Good evening. I just wanted to echo what... Hey, I miss you. Anyway, I just wanted to echo what the lady prior to me said. Thank you so much. Thank you for always being diligent and obedient with bringing the lessons and having it bring value to those that are on the call. I know that you're doing it for God's glory, for, you know, to honor him. So I sincerely appreciate it. I can't join all the time, but when I'm here, I sincerely and honestly appreciate being here and for the word that you're bringing.
Thank you. Thank you, my darling. And thank you for letting me hear your voice on the program tonight. Thank you, sweetie.
Ma'am.
Love you.
I love you, too.
Anyone else? And I want y'all to keep in mind when I ask if there anyone want to say anything or stuff like that. If, you know, if plenty of people say something, it don't, you know, make the ratings better or, you know, I get paid or anything like that. I just love to hear from God's people. We be together every Wednesday night, and, you know, if there's no more than saying whatever. But if there's no one else that would like to say anything at this time, if anyone would, you can press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mic. You might have a question. You may have something to input and impart in the message. If you do, this is the opportunity. And if there's nothing else, we'll have our, okay, caller. Your area code is 321. Your number is 615. Your mic is open. Did you press the mic by error? Caller, your number is 321.
Okay.
615.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can
Hello?
Hear you.
Okay.
Yes,
this
we can hear you.
Okay. I was just saying I'm glad to be on tonight as well. A lot of times I have meetings on Wednesday nights, and I enjoyed the lesson. But I want to put in a prayer request from my mom, Maddie Trotter. She's been having pain in her lower abdomen, and she went to the hospital, and they said they couldn't find anything. But we're trying to get her to go back to be seen to urgent care tomorrow. Because she's still having pain, but she just really doesn't want to go. She don't want to be going back to the hospital, going back to urgent care. But I think she needs to go because she's been in pain daily for about 2 weeks. And so I'd just like to, for you to put her on your prayer list, please.
Yes, we'll put her on the prayer. And when the intercessor do the benediction, she'll do a prayer. That's why I ask if anybody want to put any other names on the prayer list, you can. And she's going to pray for them tonight, and she'll also put them on the prayer list.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you say your mother's name, Zarita?
Maddie Trotter, yes.
Yeah, you said it. All righty. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Caller, your number is 504-615-19. Your mic is open.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, sister. How you doing?
Hey, my brother.
Hey, blessings. Like, oh, I enjoyed the message. I like to preference the lessons by, you know, how we think. You know, the Bible says, as we think, so are we. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. It says, the power of life, and that is in the tongue. You know, so I think that in your lesson, what I got is about Satan and think about Satan. You just talked about that. But then that same Paul, if you look at Paul writings, in the beginning when Paul wrote pretty immature. and you could look at his writing, but as he matured and he began to really comprehend better, then he talked about like working out your own soul salvation and stuff like that, because when we kind of comprehend the sacrifice that was made through the Christ, you know, and when he says it's finished, it's done, and they say the veil was rent, where the veil separated us from God. So when the veil was rent, that means we had direct access back to God and returned into the original state of existence. And so because, you know, that all, Paul also says that, for where sin abound, grace even more abound. So I think, sister, I think that we have to train our brain to focus more on the defeat of than the presence of. I think when we start focusing on the defeat of, then we live a much glorified life in the gift promise of God through the Christ. And so you're so right about, you know, when we with the Satan, but as we think, so are we. So we have to stop thinking. We have to think, you know, more godly. We have to become more godly. We have to think more godly. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making sense. Because when we think more on God, as you're saying, and speak it more, it helps us. It increases our faith.
And it helps
and
us
it makes
become.
Us, and it helps you to become, and makes you strong. You know, that's why
yeah.
I say, like, at the nighttime hour, something, you get that phone call. No weapon formed against me or prosper. You start speaking the word of God, and it gives you strength, because the word of God is our strength.
Right. And you become that you speak, you know. And
correct.
So train your brain, just like when if we are taught in the secular world, if we go to take a test, only focus on the right answer. Don't focus on, you know, you have four answers, but just focus on the right one. So in this walk, if we just focus on God, focus on the gift that has been given, focus on who we are and where we are in God, then that same enemy, Satan, that have been defeated, mind you, the Bible says that Jesus went down to the belly of the earth and took the keys of the kingdom and came back and gave it. So Satan was defeated, but Satan only lived in power because we give Satan the power.
That's right.
And when we start living in the reward that was given, when we start living in the power that was given, and lastly, because in John 10, around 34, he said, "For what of my works do you wish to stone me for the Christ's sake?" And it says, not for your works, they say, but for making yourself equal with God. He said, but isn't it written in your law that you are God? So I think if we focus more that on Psalms 82 and 6, who we are, instead of who we're not, what we've been given opposed to what used to have power over us. Because it says that the Christ died for the past, present, and future. And so if I'm wrapped up in that, and where sin abound, grace even more abound, all I'm focusing on is the grace that's been bestowed upon me. And the rest of that stuff, they can have it. You see, because you've been defeated. So I'm not going to waste my time. How many times you go, if you have a car and you trade it in, how many times you go back to the lot to drive the car you traded in? You don't. You get accustomed to going to your new car, and most of the time it's an improvement, it's a better model, it's more modern, it's all that. So, and using that as an analogy, in Christ and the gift of Christ and what was done for us in Christ, if we start focusing more on that, then we are living in the better model. We are living in the better gift. We are living in the total grace of, if that makes sense. I'm going to stop there. But I, you know, sister, you know, I'm really intrigued by you because you're consistent. You're diligent and you're consistent. And I tell you that all the time, and I'm going to say that till the cows come home, because I mean it from the bottom of my heart with all I have in me. So I just wanted to just put that out there. You know, we have to train our brain to be who God gave, not what we used to be, but who God have recreated us to be. And in that, walk and live in the power there. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. God bless you, my sister.
God bless you, my brother. And as you were speaking, all I could think about is the new birth. When you say what we became and what grace gave us, you know, we are new creatures. And the Bible say, why, after you have been given such a beautiful new life and you become a new creature, go back to your old ways? But it happens. It really happens. But, you know, we could repent and get it straight and just keep pressing. That's why we have to keep pressing, even in our newness. We have to keep pressing.
Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Anyone else? Any other prayers that need to be lifted up? If not, I'm turning everything over to Sister Pam.
Father God, I come right now lifting up my sister in Christ, Maddie Trotter. Lord, I ask you to just to heal her body fully. Take away the pain, oh Lord, that she's enduring right now, that only you can take away. Father God, I ask you right now to just wrap your arms around that family and give them the comfort that they need in knowing that you are a healer and you can work miracles, and all things are done through Christ. That trust, and we just got to trust and believe and hold on in knowing that he is Christ and he is God and he is God all by himself. So I pray for comfort for that family tonight. I pray for healing on your mother's body, that he take that pain completely away from her and she have a full recovery in Jesus' name. Lord, our benediction tonight will be coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And with that, we're going to close for tonight. But I want to let you guys know, if anyone would like to become a prayer warrior, someone would like to read scriptures or anything, you know, somebody may want to bring a lesson one night. It's our Bible study. So if it's something you want to do, sing a song or anything that you want to do, just let us know, because everyone is welcome to participate in our Bible study that God has given us Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour, Word of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. Everyone is welcome. So with that being said, I'm going to tell you good night. And it is my prayer and my hope that everyone have peace and joy in their lives. And that if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back next Wednesday at the 8:30 hour. But until then, be blessed. Go in peace. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you real good. Good night.